Welcome to episode 57 of the Speak On It podcast with your host, T-Lip. You feel what I'm saying? You dig what I'm saying? You feel what I'm spraying? All that good shit, man. Hey, that was some great football played over this weekend, man. There was some upsets. It was some beatdowns. It was some playoffs teams clinching their berth to the playoffs. There's some division ties. There's a lot of things going on, man. There's somebody trying to sneak up into the MVP race out there in Buffalo. There's some things going on, some things transpiring. But we're going to get to that. You feel what I'm saying? We are going to get to that. Definitely want to start off with the how about them Cowboys? How about them Cowboys? Man, they went in Buffalo and got beat down. Like 31 to 10. It was really 31 to 3. If you watched the game, it was 31 to 3 the whole game. 31 to 3. Like how can you win with that? How can you what you want me to do with 31 and 3? You feel what I'm saying? What you want me to do with that? There's people saying, oh, it was Dak Prescott's fault they lost. There was people saying, oh, it was the defense fault. They couldn't stop the run. They couldn't stop, you know, what Joe Brady and his offensive play calling. They couldn't stop James Cook, which James Cook was the player of the game. That was James Cook. That was his signature game right there. 25 carries, 179 yards rushing, one touchdown. His longest run was 24 yards. He averaged 7.2 yards a carry. There was times where he wasn't getting touched until he was damn near 8, 9, 10 yards down the field. That tells me that the offensive line was bullying the Cowboys' defensive line, moving up to their linebackers, punishing their safeties, and corners ain't trying to tackle like that anyway. I ain't talking about just their corners. Any corners. If y'all interior motherfuckers can't stop them from running the ball, The corners on the outside, like, hey, we ain't about to do that either. You feel what I'm saying? That's just how I be sometimes, talking from a corner perspective, from just guys around the league. If my linebacker can't tackle you, and my safeties and my D-line can't stop you from running the ball, don't blame it on us. Don't blame it on us. James Cook also had 2 catches for 42 yards and one touchdown. And the touchdown catch he made, I've seen receivers drop that catch. I've seen receivers drop the ball the way he caught the ball in the end zone. That was a great catch for a running back. That was a great catch for a wide receiver, tight end. We've seen Kincaid drop. I think Kincaid had like 2 or 3 drops yesterday. Those was easier catches that he could have caught other than the James Cook catch that he had for the touchdown. James Cook just had a great day. Obviously, this is Delvin Cook's brother. This is his second year in the league, and he has solidified himself as being one of the top running backs in the league right now. Obviously, we're moving into a new paradigm shift of the running backs in the NFL. Like, the running backs, like, you got to be honest, a lot of the running backs we have seen, it's a little different now. There's other guys that's stepping up to the point. Like, I'm going to just run off the running backs that's balling right now that just balled yesterday. Obviously, James Cook had 221 total yards, 2 touchdowns. Christian McCaffrey had 187 yards total, 3 touchdowns, 5 catches as well. Devin Singletary, he actually played for the Bills last year. He had 170 all-purpose yards, 4 catches as well. White from Tampa Bay had 139 all-purpose yards, 1 touchdown. Kyren Williams from the Rams, he had 155 yards, 1 touchdown, 5 catches. Clyde Edwards-Helaire even showed up yesterday. He made I think this probably his first game over 100 yards in damn near like 2 years. He had 101 yards, 1 touchdown yesterday. Alvin Kamara, 110 yards. So we're seeing a changing of the guard with the running backs. There's a lot of new blood, not a new guys that's running the ball very, very well in the backfield now. And we're just seeing different running backs spark it up, but I'm not trying to take no attention away from James Cook. He balled yesterday. He was literally the player of the game. Shout out to the Buffalo Bills offensive line. because they showed up and they was ready to play. This was a big game. They needed this win. I would say they needed this win more, but the Dallas needed this win too. Like, I would say Dallas' biggest win this year, their biggest win this year is the Eagles at home. That's it. That's their biggest win. I would say that's their biggest win. A lot of the other wins they had, when they played some challenging teams, they lost. They lost to the Eagles on the road. They lost to San Francisco on the road, got blew out. They lost to the Cardinals on the road in game three. And they just lost to the Bills on the road and basically was losing 31-3 the entire game. Obviously, they had a late touchdown, whatever. I'm looking at the score as 31-3. They beat them down. They had over 150 more yards than the Cowboys. They had the ball for over 10 more minutes than the Cowboys. They had 14 more first downs than the Cowboys. They third down percentage, they was 5-for-9 to the Cowboys, 5-for-13. Their red zone percentage was 75%. They was 3-for-4 in the red zone. Cowboys were 1-for-2. They did not turn the ball over. The Buffalo Bills had 266 rushing yards. The league leading average for rushing yards this year is 150 yards, and that's by the Ravens. You rush the ball for over 100 yards in a game, your odds of winning that game is very high. They rushed for 266 yards. They came in there and straight bullied the Dallas Cowboys. That is not a good look for the Cowboys at all. They only had 85 passing yards. Josh Allen only had to throw the ball, he only had to throw the ball 15 times for them to win. 15 times. They averaged more yards on the game, on the ground. They averaged more yards in the air. The Bills had one penalty to the Cowboys' 5. Like, this was a beatdown. This was a beatdown right here. The Cowboys came in there. They was unprepared. I'm not even going to say they was unprepared, because it's not like the Bills did a bunch of tricky things or they schemed them up to win. It wasn't a scheme. It was like, hey, we about to run the ball down y'all throat and we're going to bully y'all and we're going to beat y'all. Period. It wasn't, hey, we're going to drop these perfect plays for us to win. It wasn't none of that. The Bills were the better team that day, and I think they are the better team right now because they're hot. They back is against the wall because they need to win these games. And they fighting for a playoff seed or even a division win. I mean, a clinching their division. Because depending on these last three games, we can see some things happen with the Bills. We can see some things happen in the AFC East with the Bills. So this was a very bad performance from the Cowboys. Dak Prescott was 21 for 34, 134 yards. He didn't really show up like that. I would say he had, 80 passing yards heading into the fourth quarter. Obviously, he got some garbage time throws and yards at the end. But he didn't do enough to win. He overthrew Brandon Cooks in the first quarter. And that's a throw you got to make. He overthrew him by like 5 yards. Brandon Cook was beating Rasul Douglas by like 2 yards. You drop that in the bucket, he catches that, he runs. Now it's 7-0. Now you inflate your team with energy. You inflate your team with. Hey, we came to play. Hey, we really came to play. Now that energy spreads out through your whole team. But when you miss a throw like that on the road, it takes the energy that you could have put in your team. It takes that out 10 times worse. 10 times worse. Because on the road, your fans are not there like that. Especially in Buffalo. Buffalo is their fan base is crazy live. Playing in that arena, that stadium is crazy live. So you already on the road. You need to make a play for your team. You the MVP, right? It's been all this game manager, game changer talk over the last week or two from Cam Newton. This was a game that we were going to see who is the game manager and who is the game changer. Who is the playmaker and who just try to manage to, you know, get the ball to other guys so they can make plays. Josh Allen was the best player on it. He was the best quarterback on his field right now. And he didn't even have to do a lot. And if Josh Allen can win a game by 21 where he only had 15 attempts passing, threw for 94 yards and one passing touchdown. If he could win a game like that, this Bills team is scary because he already super special. And he has weapons. So the Cowboys look bad. It's a bad loss, but it's something they probably will be able to regroup from. But they take on Miami next week in Miami. That ain't going to be easy. Playing against, you know, Tariq Hill. He didn't play this week, so he's definitely going to be back next week. Playing against Tariq Hill, Waddle, Mostert, Xavier Howard, Jalen Ramsey, Tua, Achan. Feel me? Bradley Chubb. I can keep going because they got some guys down there in Miami, man. And Bradley Chubb just had a hell of a game yesterday. A hell of a game. Multiple sacks, forced fumbles, fumble recoveries, TFLs, like PBUs. Like he had a very dominant game. I would be surprised if he don't win defensive AFC player of the week. It's going to be between him and Ward from San Francisco. San Francisco cornerback, he balled out too. But that's going to be a test next week as well. That's going to be a test. Buffalo Bills play Saturday night. They play against the Chargers in L.A. They should beat the Chargers. The Chargers don't have a quarterback. The Chargers just fired their coach. The Chargers basically just gave up 63 points last week. Josh Allen should go in there and dominate that game. They should eat. So we're going to see how that happens. But I'm sure Buffalo is feeling good about themselves right now. And I'm sure Dallas, things are looking shaky right now. I'm sure they're going to, you know, chalk it up to, okay, you have games like this and it's not a big deal. We're going to move on to next week. But we're going to see, though, because if they lose next week and Achan and Mostert be able to bring the ball all over them and then they can't stop Tariq and Jalen Waddle, we're going to see how you're going to feel next week as well, because they put some bad film on tape. When you get the ball ran down your throat like that for 266 yards, you got bullied. You got manhandled. And that's how they're going to lose in the playoffs. Because who they going to play? The Eagles are a good running team. They can potentially play them, right? The Lions run the ball pretty well, too. They're going to potentially play them, right? The 49ers going to run the ball well, too. They're going to potentially play them, right? Even the Rams can run the ball. And they got a quarterback that can throw that motherfucker around with anybody. So I ain't saying, you know, the Cowboys in trouble, but it's just something to think about if you understand what I'm saying. But great win for the Bills, man. They hot right now. We're going to see how they can continue to finish the season out, and we're going to see how it goes. Moving on from that, man, let's move into Sunday Night Football, where we had the Baltimore Ravens travel all the way down to Florida and play the Jacksonville Jaguars. Baltimore won 23-7. Lamar Jackson had another special day. Trevor Lawrence, yeah, he was all right. I think people have crowned him way sooner than he needed to be crowned, like calling him the prince and calling him this. Like, I think in 2 years, C.J. Stroud is going to be the better quarterback, the best quarterback in that division. I think he kind of neck and neck with that right now, honestly. I think he's a winner, too. Like, his energy is felt throughout the whole team. I don't think Trevor Lawrence's energy is felt throughout that whole team. I think they enjoy their quarterback and they love their quarterback, but I don't think he – how can I say this? I'm not going to say he's not a winner, but I'm not going to say he is a winner either. I'm not going to say that. I need to see more from him. I can't just crown him. I can't just crown him and say, hey, you know, he's the prince of whatever Nick Wright be saying. First things first, shout out to Nick Wright. I'm not just going to crown him and say he's a top five quarterback in NFL. Because, you know, just because he's the number one pick and he got them playing a little better. But because they have weapons around him. Ridley, ETN is probably one of the best running backs in the league, if not the best. You feel me? You got Evan Engram balling out. You feel me? You got the defense playing better. You got Christian Kirk, Zay Jones. You have guys. You have guys. So, but the Ravens went in there and dominated. The Ravens went in there and dominated. We got Lamar Jackson. Let me go to this real quick. You feel what I'm saying? Lamar Jackson, 14 for 24, 171 yards, one touchdown. Yeah, one touchdown, one interception. The INT he threw was a bad INT. He should have either just threw it to Likely, It was second and two. You can't turn the ball over on second and two, bro. Just you feel me? Just throw the ball to Likely or just run and get the 2 yards and fall down, because he had an easy lane to run the ball. He had an easy lane to pass it to Likely as well. But he tried to force it back to the middle of the field, and the safety jumped it. Great play by Jenkins as well, number two, the Jaguar safety. But he can't afford to turn the ball over right there. It was no point. You turn the ball over on your side of the ball. You gave them the ball back inside their own 50-yard line. That will hurt you in the playoffs. You cannot do that. I didn't like that from Lamar Jackson at all. But for every one play he do, he going to give you about six to seven spectacular plays, bro. For every one bad interception he do or one bad throw or something like that, he going to give you 6 to 8, man, great, crazy plays from him. If y'all seen it in the game when he was scrambling around, he almost got sacked, spent out of it, dropped back again and threw the ball all the way across from the right side of the field all the way to the left side of the field to Likely in basically double coverage, and Likely came down with the ball. Like, that was an MVP type of play right there. MVP type of play. And if you haven't noticed, Lamar Jackson been running the ball a little bit more lately. The first 8 weeks of the season, I would say the first 10 weeks, first 10, 11 weeks, he wasn't really running the ball like that. You know, he was protecting himself. He was keeping himself ready to play in this part of the football, in December, in January, in February. And that should tell you how smart he is. Because this is a guy that used to be running the ball like a motherfucker to where he didn't make it to December the last 2 years because he had ran the ball so much and, you know, brutalized his body a little bit. But this year, his approach to the game was way different. He protected himself. He's not taking these crazy hits, these unnecessary sideline hits. He's not trying to get the extra yard because he knows that his presence on the field at any down is way better than that extra yard he's trying to get. Period. Him with the ball in his hand is better than that extra yard. He has literally stayed healthy this entire year. We have not missed a game. That's MVP type of stuff. That's growth right there. But yesterday he had 12 carries for 97 yards. Balling out. You can't be mad at that at all. This guy balling out. They had the ball for basically 10 more minutes than the Jaguars had. They had 9 more first downs. They were 5 for 12 on third downs. They were 2 for 5 in the red zone. You want to be a little bit more than 40% in the red zone. You get in the red zone, you want to score. You want to lead. You get in the red zone inside the 20-yard line, you want to score, Lamar. You're going to have to score in the red zone to win a Super Bowl, period. You're going to have to score in the red zone to win a Super Bowl, period. Either a field goal or a touchdown, preferably a touchdown. They had one turnover. They also had 251 yards rushing and 145 yards passing. You can win like that every day of the week. You can win like that. You had 3 guys over 50 yards rushing. Three guys over 50 yards rushing. Lamar had 97. Keaton Mitchell had 97 yards rushing. And Gus Edwards had 58 yards rushing. They're going to miss Keaton Mitchell. He messed up his knee yesterday. He's out for the season. It looked like a really, really bad hyperextension, but I'm sure he tore something. I'm sure we'll get more information as the day goes by. But he's a problem, and he's going to be able to rehab and get himself back and get himself healthy, and he's going to be a problem with the Ravens next year. It's something about the Ravens always losing running backs, man. Gus Edwards have missed seasons. Dobbins have missed seasons. Keaton Mitchell has missed seasons. Like, even Justice Hill has missed games. It's like, man, it's hard to stay healthy in a running back. It's kind of crazy. But guys are making plays, man. Likely 5 for 70, one touchdown. He was making plays. Rashad Bateman came out and had some big catches in that first drive. 3 catches, 39 yards, but it was some nice little timely catches. Other guys going to continue to get, you know, into the picture, but you got to win the way you can win. The Ravens win on defense with the running game and converting third downs. That's how they're going to win the Super Bowl. Obviously, scoring in the red zone, but playing great defense. The only touchdown they gave up was a blown assignment on a wheel route or something like that. You feel me? Like he was wide open and he scored on that. But besides that, they shut them down. Besides that throw, they shut them down. The running game wasn't running. ETN only had 31 rushing yards. Agnew had a 65-yard touchdown catch. That was the only big play that they really had in the game. Zay Jones caught a go route on the left sideline. He caught that one. But they stopped Ridley. They stopped Evan Engram. Ridley had 5 catches for 39 yards. And Evan Engram had 4 catches for 28 yards. Them are guys that can go for 100 yards. So you stop them, you're doing a good job. This Baltimore Ravens defense is playing really, really, really well. They get to the ball. They sack the ball. They can stop the run. I would like to see them catch more picks, though. They don't catch picks like that. I would like to see Marlon Humphrey get more into his bag. Obviously, he's coming back from a calf injury a couple weeks ago. But he's getting back. He's getting his legs back under him. He need to have this stretch where he's dominant. I like what Stevens doing that corner. He's balling out 21. Hamilton is a baller. Hamilton, Williams, Hamilton, Marcus Williams, and Is that the only two safeties on my trip? Stone basically lead the league in INTs as well. Like they got their secondary is pretty good, man. They tight. This defense is nasty, bro. I ain't even spoke about the two linebackers yet, Queen and Smith. Them boys be balling. They lead this team. Jadeveon Clowney doing his thing. I would love to see Matt Judon come back to this team. That's just me, though. That's just me. You feel what I'm saying? But the Ravens look dangerous, man. If y'all ain't focused on the Ravens right now, I don't know what y'all focus on. They got an MVP candidate, Lamar Jackson. He's willing his teams to wins. The defense is playing really, 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 really well. They're playing well in the red zone. Like, they walked into Jacksonville and beat them on Sunday Night Football. This is the second primetime game we've seen the Jaguars lose. They had a Monday night versus the Bengals a couple weeks ago. They lost that game. I think the Jags are living on a 3-game losing streak. They lost to the Bengals on Monday night. Then they lost the week after that to the Browns. And then they just lost to the Ravens. So they ain't doing nothing versus that AFC North division. They ain't doing nothing. Let me see what else they playing. The Steelers. They beat the Steelers 20-10. So they 1-3 versus the AFC North. It get brutal in that AFC North, boy. But two of the games they had versus the NFC North was on Sunday night, Monday night football in Jacksonville, and they lost both of them to Lamar Jackson and to Jake Browning. So they got to tighten up. The Jaguars got to tighten up. And that's what I say about Trevor Lawrence. What type of quarterback is he? We got to see his impact on his team. He has to win some of these games. We can't just call him the prince when they win a game. You feel me? No, let's break down his losses too. Let's break down the turnovers he do. Let's break down some of the dumb throws. Let's break down right before halftime him throwing the ball on an out route with less than 10 seconds left when they had no timeouts. So you threw the ball and caused your team 3 points. Like, that's not smart. This is literally right after he just threw a dart to Zay Jones on the sideline. And then you come back the next play, it's under 15 seconds left. You have no timeouts. You run a play. You don't spike the ball. It's first and goal on the 5. Spike the ball so you can kick a field goal or throw the ball out of bounds right now. Throw it out of bounds right now. If it ain't open right now, throw it out of bounds right now so you can at least save a second or two to kick the field goal. At least go into halftime, You feel me? It's 10-3 instead of 10-0. You can't do that. You cannot do that. So Lamar Jackson was the better quarterback on the field, led his team to a win, and that's what it is. Moving on from that, let's talk about this 49ers and Cardinals game. 49ers balling. 49ers are literally look like the best team in the league right now. Brock Purdy is hands down a top two candidate, if not the top candidate for the MVP race right now. Christian McCaffrey is balling out of control. Christian McCaffrey is balling out of control. You hear what I'm saying? Y'all don't hear me, though. Christian McCaffrey, 115 yards rushing, 18 carries, 5 catches, 72 yards. Literally had 1 rushing touchdown and 2 receiving touchdowns. Balling the fuck out. He is a problem. Best running back in the game. All pro. It's between him and Tyreek Hill that's going to get that offensive player of the year. Because they're going to give it to a quarterback. It's just a quarterback's award. Even though the quarterback play this year is not stellar, nobody has 40 passing touchdowns, 45 passing touchdowns. Nobody has those games like that. I don't even think we in week 16, heading into week 16. I don't even think a quarterback has 30 touchdowns, 30 passing touchdowns yet. We in week 16. No quarterback has 30 touchdowns. But man, this 49ers team is balling right now. They're clicking on all cylinders. Brock Purdy, 16 for 25, 242 yards, 4 passing touchdowns. Greg Kittle, 2 catches for 54 yards. Debo Samuel, 4 catches for 48 yards, 2 touchdowns. Brandon Ayuk, 3 for 37. The fullback, Kyle, 2 for 26. Jennings, 2 for 25. He spreads the ball to everybody. He distributes the ball to everybody. He gets the ball to his playmakers in stride. Like, they don't have to turn around and catch the ball. Like, they catching and running. Brandon Ayuk catch that glance route. He catching in full stride and running, still in full stride. Debo catches a screen, or he catches a slant, or he catches a basic or a dig route. Full stride. He don't have to slow down, stop. He's catching and running. That's great timing. That's great accuracy. That's great anticipation. And that's just awareness. And, bro, Purdy has playmaking ability in him. Like, when Cam Newton made the threw Purdy in there, only reason he can say that about Purdy right now is because this is Purdy's first year as the starter. You feel me? So, but I don't think he's just – I think he has weapons around him. He do. He has some of the best weapons around him at all. Like, he got Kittle, Christian McCaffrey, Debo Samuel, Brandon Ayuk, Trent Williams. You feel me? They have Kyle, the fullback. He's a playmaker. You feel me? He has the best supporting cast in the NFL. But Jimmy G had that too. Jimmy G had the same guys. They was a couple years younger, but he had those guys too. Nick Mullins had those guys too. Just saying. Purdy is doing something right. Purdy is definitely doing he doing his big one out there on that field. So I'm not taking away nothing from Purdy. You know, I'm not one of them guys that's saying, oh, well, you got to take away all his weapons and then see what he's like. Well, shit, you take Tim Duncan and Ginobili and Tony Parker off the Spurs. Let's see what Greg Popovich like. Like, bro, you need players. You feel me? It's just he got some of the best players right now. They're all paid how they need to be paid. And he might lose Brandon Ayuk next year, though. He might lose Brandon Ayuk. I think Christian McCaffrey's still going to be there. Debo's still going to be there. I think he might lose Brandon Ayuk because I think there's going to be a team out there that's willing to give Brandon Ayuk a lot more money than the 49ers are going to be willing to give him because Brandon Ayuk is nice. I'm not going to say he's not a number one. I don't think he's a number one yet, but I don't think he's a number two either. I think he in between that shit. He like a 1.5. Because he makes big plays. And I'm not just going to sit here and say, oh, it's the scheme and it's the plays being called. It's all of that. But, you know, shit, there's other guys that's there too that ain't doing what he doing. So you got to give the plays that he's making, you got to give it to him. You can't just give it to coaching staffs and all of that. So obviously, yeah, the 49ers are loaded with talent around Brock Purdy, but Brock Purdy is doing a great job of finding his guys. I tweeted this earlier from the Speak On It podcast page on Twitter, or from just my page on Twitter. I tweeted that. Let me go to the tweet. Let me go to the tweet for y'all. I tweeted that Brock Purdy is Rondo on the Celtics. Christian McCaffrey is Paul Pierce. Debo is KG. Kittle is Tony Allen. Trent Williams is Kendrick Perkins. And Brandon Ayuk is Ray Allen. Very electric team around him. He just has to protect the ball and deliver it to his playmakers. Purdy is a top 10 quarterback, though. So he is a top 10 quarterback. And the thing about me, I ain't just saying that right now. I was saying this last year. Bro, if he did not get injured in the playoffs versus the Eagles, the 49ers would have won. And they would have been in the Super Bowl versus the Chiefs. He has it. He might not be 6'5", and, you know, all of these intangible things that they love about the quarterback and all of this. But that it factor, he has it. He just happened to have some of the best weapons around him. But shit, Joe Burrow got some weapons around him too. I mean, Patrick Mahomes did have Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce on his team 4 years ago. So he had weapons too. We see what he looked like without the weapons. Obviously, Patrick Mahomes is one of the best quarterbacks to ever play. But you need guys around you, bro. You need guys. We seen what Tom Brady looked like at the end of his Patriots career when he didn't have, you know, a lot of the great playmakers. We seen what happened. He went to a team that did have playmakers. He went to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They had Mike Evans, Chris Godwin. They signed Antonio Brown. They signed Gronk. You feel me? Like, he went to that. You need weapons around you. So that's it's no shade to Brock Purdy, because I still think he's a top 10 quarterback. He has it. You can win a championship with Brock Purdy. So he balled out. That's my thing with Brock Purdy. 49ers won 45-29. I'm not mad at the Cardinals or how they've been playing this year. That coach got them playing well. Of course they're going to lose the game because they're not as talented as some players, some teams, and things like that. But if I'm them, I'm going to build around Kyler Murray. They got the number 2 pick in the draft right now. I'm signing Marvin Harrison. And I'm drafting Marvin Harrison Jr. And I'm going to sign T. Higgins as well. So now I give Kyler Murray 2 big targets. That's basically going to be 2 number ones on your team. You got the tight ends. You got McBride. You might bring James Conner back. But you just give Kyler Murray some weapons, some real weapons that's going to make that division kind of tough. Because you going up against the Cardinals and Kyler Murray and Marvin Harrison and T. Higgins on the other side, it's going to be tough playing against him. So that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to continue to build around Kyler Murray and build this team up again. You can win with Kyler Murray. I'm not saying you can win a Super Bowl. I don't know. But you can win with him. I can think he's only going to get mature, right? He's only going to get more experience, right? He stays healthy these last few games. He's going to go into this offseason with an offseason where he can actually train and get better and train with his wide receivers and throw to his wide receivers and not have to, you know, re-heal himself, not have to go through, you feel me, coming from an injury, you don't have time to, you got to get back healthy. But now he's going to be able to, like, really improve his game because he's healthy. So I like what the Cardinals doing, man. I'm not going to take nothing away from the Cardinals. Moving on from that, man, let's talk about a few games briefly. This is the final fast break, 4 or 5 minutes. We're going to talk about games. We like to talk about these games. I like to give people their credit. I like to, you know, talk about what the hell is going on. So let's jump right into it, man. Chiefs and the Patriots. Chiefs won the game. They still have issues at the receiving end, man. A couple drops yesterday. Even Travis Kelce dropped a touchdown yesterday. It's going to be hard to win in the playoffs if you can't create separation and catch the ball on third down. It's going to be hard to do. At home or away, it's going to be hard to do. So I don't know how they address that problem now because the trade deadline has passed. Ain't nobody getting released. You ain't signing nobody up off the streets. It's going to happen. So it might be a tough year for the Chiefs. They might lose first round. They might lose second round. But it's kind of tough seeing if they're going to be one of them teams to make it to the Super Bowl this year. But they still have Mahomes, so you got to count them in. They beat the Patriots 27-17. New England just cooked. Moving on from them. The Rams and the Commanders. Rams look good right now. They won 28-20. They was up 28-7. They literally gave up like damn near 14 points at the end of the game, basically under like 4 minutes left. They almost allowed Washington to come back. But Matthew Stafford still making dart throws, 25-33, 258 yards, 2 touchdowns, balling out. But this rookie running back, Kyren Williams, 27 carries, 152 yards, 1 touchdown, balling out. Then you got Cooper Kupp with 8 catches, 111 yards, 1 touchdown. Puka Nacua, 5 catches, 50 yards. Robinson, 2 catches, 44 yards. Higbee, 4 catches, 36 yards. They have guys. They can be a sneaky team in the playoffs, man. I would love to see. I was hearing them talk about it on First Take earlier today. I would love to see Matthew Stafford and the Rams go to Detroit and play the Lions in the first round of the playoffs. That would be beautiful. And I'm a Lions guy. I ain't a Lions guy like that, but I've been liking what I've been seeing from the Lions. But that's going to be a tough matchup for the Lions, boy, I'm telling you. So, good game by the Rams, though. Obviously, the Commanders are going to fire their coach at the end. That's the speculations. They're going to fire their coach. They're going to cleanse that whole building. I say go and get Bill Belichick. Go and get him. Moving on from that, Titans, Texans. Texans won the game overtime, 19-16. They had their backup quarterback, Case Keenum, got a big road win, knocked the Titans out of playoff contention. The Texans, the Jaguars, and the Colts are all tied 8-6 in the division right now. So these last three games are going to be big time to see who's going to be a wild card team and who's going to get who's going to potentially have a home game in the playoffs throughout that division. So excited to see that game. Bears, Browns, Joe Flacco, just another win, even though he threw 3 interceptions, but he also threw 374 yards, 2 touchdowns, 28 for 44. No running game at all. No running game at all. But they had 2 receivers over 100 yards. Amari Cooper, 4 catches, 109 yards, 1 touchdown. David Njoku, 10 catches, 104 yards, 1 TD. I don't know, but Joe Flacco may have unlocked David Njoku, man. Njoku is a weapon at the tight end spot, but nobody has really found a way to like make him a valuable, pivotal part of the offense. But Joe Flacco, the last few games, Njoku done had some big games the last 3 weeks, so maybe he has unlocked him, man. Good win for the Browns, 20-17. Obviously, Justin Fields threw the ball at the end of the game for the Hail Mary, and it fell right into Mooney's lap, and he blew it. Mooney then blew it. The ball got tipped right to him while he was on his back. All he had to do was let it. It fell right in his lap. He fought it off of him. Come on, man. You got to make that catch, bud. Great win for the Browns, though, man. They're one of them teams that's fighting for the playoff seeding. And they're the 5th seed right now. It's going to come down to the end. I love what I'm seeing, though, for sure, for sure. Moving on from that, Dolphins beat the Jets 30-0. Not about to talk about it. Great win. Tyreek Hill didn't play. He's going to play next week, though. Big game for the Dolphins next week. They play the Cowboys at home. That's going to be a big game. We're going to see some great football. Let's see what happens. Giants lost to the Saints 24-6. Whatever. I ain't about to jump into it. Good win for the Saints. Whatever. Buccaneers traveled all the way to Lambeau Field and beat the Packers 34-20. Baker Mayfield. Man, oh, man, oh, man, oh, man. Let me talk about Baker Mayfield. Baker Mayfield, 22 for 28, 381 yards, 4 touchdowns, 0 interceptions. You want to talk about comeback player of the year? You want to talk about a guy how many teams he played for last year? He played for Carolina, and then I think he played for the Rams last year. And now he's playing for the Bucks right now, and they're probably going to win that division and host a playoff game. Baker Mayfield is balling right now. I ain't got nothing bad to say about Baker right now. I always going to talk my shit about Baker. That's me. I'm going to talk shit. Because, you know, he's underperforming, but he always be talking crazy. But what he's doing down there in Tampa right now, I love it. I love to see a redemption story. I love when you down and out and everybody talking bad about you, and then you get the ball in, and then they go back to being quiet because they ain't got nothing bad to say, so they ain't got nothing to say. I'm one of the ones, I'm going to give you your credit, Baker. I thought you was trash, but you balling right now, bro. So respect to you for keeping your head about you, keeping your head above water, and willing this team to damn near a division win. After this is the year after Tom Brady. You know how hard it was to probably come and be the quarterback after Tom Brady in Tampa Bay? It was probably tough, but you were making it look easy, man. So respect to you, bro. Respect to you, respect to you, respect to you. Jordan Love with 29 for 39. 284 yards, 2 touchdowns. Had a good game, man. Guys making plays. This young receiving core is looking pretty good right now. Wicks, 6 for 97. Kraft, tight end, 4 catches, 57 yards, 1 touchdown. Jaden Reed, Michigan State Spartan dog, was having 6 catches for 52 yards, 1 touchdown. He has 8 touchdowns this year. I think that's the record for rookies with the Packers. Balling out. He's fine in the end zone. He has speed and he has route running. Dobbs, 3 catches for 30 yards. Heath, 3 catches for 29 yards. So he's finding ways to get all of his guys the ball. Every now and then he looks like a rookie. You feel me? This is his rookie year, Jordan Love. This is his rookie year. So every now and then he's gonna make a dumbass throw or a dumb decision or throw off his back foot or miss a throw he should have made. It's all of him just gaining experience. So I love that for him because he's gaining a lot of experience in his time. But they lost. They go and play. Who the Packers play next week? They play Carolina. They should win. They should win. I'm going to say that. Carolina got a win last week. Speaking of Carolina, they beat the Falcons 9-7. First off, did y'all see Carolina Arena? Did y'all see the stadium? There was nobody there. I repeat, there was nobody there at all through the whole game. That is wild to me. They won 9-7. They said the tickets for that game was 45 cents. The tickets to an NFL game was 45 cents. That is wicked. That is wicked. The Falcons are bad. Ridder is not a starting quarterback in the league. He needs time to develop himself because Cincinnati didn't get him right, and he's not it right now. Moving on, there was some Saturday games. The first Saturday game was the Vikings and the Bengals. Great game. Great game. It looked like the Vikings had that one, and until T. Higgins caught the touchdown when he went up and mossed them and spent around and threw the ball into the end zone, stretched the ball into the end zone, balled out. Did his thing. He had 2 touchdowns. He had a big game. Jake Brown in another great showing. 29 for 42, 324 yards, 2 touchdowns, balled out. I love to see that. Chase got injured, separated his shoulder. He's day-to-day. You're going to need him, though. But great win for the Bengals, man. Great win. They might end up sneaking into this playoffs. We're going to see. The second game was the Colts and the Steelers. Great win for the Colts. They're fighting. Like I said, they're tied 8-6 with the other three guys in their division. They're fighting for a playoff spot. We're going to see how that turned out. The Steelers, bad news bears right now. We'll see if Mike Tomlin is the coach next year. We shall see. And the Saturday night football game was the Lions and the Broncos. Lions beat them bad, 42-17. Lions look good. They ran the ball well. Goff, 24 for 34, 278 yards, five passing touchdowns. Gibbs had 11 carries for 100 yards. Montgomery had 17 carries for 85 yards. They just dominated the Broncos. The Broncos defense didn't show up at all. They just dominated them. Great win for the Lions, though. Really, really great win. Thursday night football, the score was 63-21. The score was, at a time, the score was 56-7. If I'm not mistaken, I think the score was 42 to zip at halftime. Chargers, y'all should be a damn shame of yourself. For real, for real, for real. And that's ended. I'm going to give y'all the, obviously tonight, Monday Night Football, we have the Eagles and the Seahawks. There's questions if both quarterbacks are going to play tonight. Geno Smith has a groin. They don't know if he's going to play. He missed last week with that same injury. And Jalen Hurts has an illness where he had to fly separately from the team because he didn't want to get them sick. We're going to see if he's going to play. If Jalen Hurts plays, they win. I think they got a good chance of winning without Jalen Hurts as well because they have a nice team around him as well. But Seahawks need this win, man. The Seahawks are on a four-game losing streak. They need this win more than anything. They need this win at home on Monday Night Football. So they need it. They need it. Now let's talk about moving on from there. Obviously, if you've been paying attention to the news out there in New York, the last couple weeks, Aaron Rodgers has been in practice making throws and making dropbacks. We've seen little clips and flips of him throwing this ball off the play action, this and that. He was cleared over the weekend. Over this past weekend, he was cleared by the medical doctors for him to come and play. We don't know if he's going to play next week. Zach Wilson got injured in the game, didn't return to the game yesterday versus the Dolphins. Trevor Siemian was in the game. He finished the game. So the Jets are officially out of the playoff hunt as well. They cannot make the playoffs in no way. They're out of the contention for it. Will we see Aaron Rodgers come back and play? Is that possible? Do we see Aaron Rodgers return in week 16 versus the Commanders? That is something to think about. We shall see. We shall see. All right, I wanted to talk about this briefly. Let's pick two teams. Who is the most dangerous team, dangerous wild card team in the AFC and in the NFC? I'm gonna give y'all the two teams I feel like that, and I'm gonna explain to y'all why. I feel like the two most dangerous teams in the AFC and in the wild card teams in the AFC and the NFC. In the NFC, I'm going to say the Buffalo Bills. They are the most dangerous, right? But they are the most dangerous because they are a team that can actually make the Super Bowl. But you know another team that's a very sneaky, most dangerous team in the wild card? I'm going to go the Cleveland Browns. Y'all been seeing how they've been playing the last few weeks? We already know about that Cleveland defense. They some ballers. That Cleveland defense is crazy. Myles Garrett, Denzel Ward is back. Delpit, you have Amari Cooper balling, Njoku balling. Flacco managing the game, getting the ball to his guys, not making no. He threw three picks this past game, but hopefully that's just an anomaly. This can be a dangerous team in the AFC. They can upset somebody. Let's just say they match up against the Jaguars, and they go into Jacksonville and play the Jaguars. They can beat the Jaguars. They already beat them at home. They can beat them. They already beat the Jaguars this year, the Browns. Can the Browns go into Kansas City and beat the Chiefs? They can. They can. They have the defense to do it, and they have the perfect game manager in Joe Flacco to do that. Can they go into Miami and potentially beat the Dolphins? They can. They can turn it into a dogfight. So that's why I say the Browns are the most dangerous team, wild card team in the AFC. Now let's move over to the NFC. Who is the most dangerous NFC team, wild card? I'm going to go to Los Angeles Rams. Come on, man. You got Matthew Stafford, a Super Bowl winning quarterback. You got Cooper Kupp. You got Puka Nacua. You got Kyren Williams. You got Tyler Higbee. You got Aaron Donald. You got Sean McVay. They can go and spoil it for somebody in the first round. They have the pieces. And we thought this was a rebound year, a regroup year for them. They came out and said, hell no, we out here trying to play to get to the playoffs. And that's big time right there. Because I think they're going to be better next year than they are this year. To win seven games with what you have Cooper Kupp had missed like the first five or six games, if I'm not mistaken. To be the seventh seed right now, they are a dangerous seventh seed right now. If they get to the sixth seed, they're going to be a dangerous sixth seed. Their schedule is looking like the Rams, who they play this week. The Rams play the Saints this week. They should win. They play the Saints at home this week. They should win. Then they play the Giants. So they should win versus the Saints and the Giants, and they end the season at San Francisco. But San Francisco might be sitting out their starters that week because they might have clinched first round, clinched the number one pick. I mean, the number one seed. They might sit out their starters. So they might – they can the Rams can probably go 3-0 right now and end up in that fifth or that – you feel me? I mean, that sixth seed, they ain't going to be the fifth because it's either going to be the Cowboys or the Eagles. And they end up in that sixth seed, and they travel up there and play Detroit. Ooh-wee. Matthew Stafford returning back to the crib. Where he built his legacy at. Jared Goff playing against the coach that traded him, that he took to the Super Bowl. Ooh-wee. We're going to see, man. We're going to see. So those are my two most dangerous teams right now. One in the AFC is the dangerous wild card teams. Are the Cleveland Browns. And in the NFC is the Los Angeles Rams. Let me talk about the Bills real quick because there's a slight chance that the Bills could win the division. Yeah, y'all heard me. The Buffalo Bills could win their division. You want me to tell you how? The Bills are 8-6 right now. They're sitting at 2-2 in the division. The Dolphins are 10-4, right? Let's go to the Bills schedule. The Bills play the Chargers this week. Then they play the Patriots. And then they end the season in Miami playing the Miami Dolphins. And that might come down to like whoever win that game win the division. That's what that's probably going to come down to. Who the Dolphins play? What's the Dolphins schedule looking like? So the Bills can easily go 3-0, right? The Dolphins' schedule is they play the Cowboys this week, and then they travel to Baltimore and play Baltimore on New Year's Eve. And then they end the season versus the Bills. So this little three-game skit, the Dolphins could lose all three of these games. If the Dolphins lose all three of these games, they will be 10-7. If the Bills win all three of these games, they will be 11-6. So they would jump them. That last game will come down to, the division. That last game will come down to the division because they'd be 3-2 and the Dolphins will be 4-1 and it will be the last game will be a playoff game right then and there. They'd be playing for seeding in the division. They'll be playing for the division title right there. And if you win that division title, you probably would be the second seed. So the Bills are the nine seed right now. They got a chance to go from the 9 seed all the way up to the 2 or the 3 seed. Man, oh man. The Bills could win that division. It's going to be tough because the Dolphins are a good team. They have weapons. They have guys. They got the coaching. They are Miami, bro. But the Bills, they seem like they're a little bit more hungrier right now. They just needed some adversity all season. Obviously, all season, they've been playing up and down, up and down, up and down. I guess they tried to create the adversity that they needed. People kind of started to forget about Buffalo. But Buffalo here to remind you right now, like, we can win this division. And I'm starting to see it, man. So these last three games is pivotal for both of these teams because the division is on the line. Even if the Dolphins go 1-2 and the Bills go 3-1, they still might lose the division because the Bills, I think the Bills are going to win in Miami the last game of the season. And that's going to be, like I said, the division is going to be on the line for that last game. So I love it. Last but not least, man. Let's talk about the MVP race. Who is my MVP as of right now? I think there is two legit candidates and there's two other candidates that's kind of creeping on that, you know, they creeping. I think the two legit MVPs of this year is going to come down to two players. I think it comes down to Brock Purdy or Lamar Jackson. I think both of them has done a great job of helping their team win games, winning big games on the road or at home, beating winning teams. You feel me? Playing against other quarterbacks that's really, really good and going in there and winning those games. And they just making plays for their team. They're making plays for their team. And the other two candidates that's right under them, it depends on how Josh Allen finished his season out. If he finished his season out 3-0 and he has like 12 touchdown total touchdowns, he might be able to creep his name in there. But I think he kind of, you know, took his name out of there because of the beginning of the season how he had. But who knows, man? Who knows how these voters vote? But I think the other two picks, potential picks, going to come down to Christian McCaffrey because he has over 1,800 yards and 20 touchdowns this year, balling completely out, and Tyreek Hill. Tyreek Hill still can get 2,000 yards. I think he's like 450 yards away. He got three games left. What's that, 150 yards? I think this is the dude that can catch. He can go for 200 yards in any type of game. I think he can do that. If anybody can do that, I think he can do that. So those are my four candidates, but I think there are two legit candidates because they are quarterbacks, and it's basically a quarterback award. The two legit candidates goes to Brock Purdy, 49ers quarterback, and Lamar Action Jackson, Baltimore Ravens quarterback. And then my two potentials is Tyreek Hill, wide receiver for the Miami Dolphins, and Christian McCaffrey, running back for the San Francisco 49ers. Those are my picks. Hey, man, I think this was a great episode right here. I think this was a great episode, you know? That's just me, though. You feel me? I might know a little something. I might not know nothing. You feel me? If you feel like I don't, let me know. Talk to me. You know what I'm saying? We building here. But appreciate y'all for tuning in to the Speak On It podcast, man. Episode 57. We stacking them up, man. We running up these numbers, man. Appreciate y'all for joining in, man, all day. Speak On It podcast. Lip out.